Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Series 2 of 17 Questions. Each week we'll be asking celebrities, influencers and authors 17 random questions you never knew you wanted the answers to. Can you tell us your name and a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Dallas Campbell and I'm probably best known as being a television presenter, and I present programs about science and engineering and technology and history and that kind of thing. And I also write. I wrote a book last year on the history of space flight.
What's the wisest thing you have ever heard someone say?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I keep getting little nuggets of wisdom. My sort of go-to response to something like that is Werner Herzog, of course, you know, the great German film director, in his sort of 10 points, his rules for life. Forgiveness is always easier to get than permission, which I think is very wise. Never ask permission to do something, because they'll probably say no. Just do it, and then if they didn't want you to do it, say, oh, I'm really sorry. So that's always very good. Forgiveness, not permission. Actually, from a personal point of view, I used to have this school friend, and a close friend at school, actually, and I remember his dad coming up to me once in the holidays, like with a degree of urgency that I didn't quite understand. I must have been about 14 or 15 at the time. And he said, Dallas. And I said, yes. He said, listen to me. Don't wait. Don't wait. Just do it. Don't wait for anything. If there's something you want to do, just do it. And kind of wandered off. And I remember feeling odd about it because it was completely out of context. I'm like, why the hell is it? Why? I mean, I knew him because he was my friend's dad, but I was confused about why he wanted to tell me this now and why he said it with so urgency without any explanation. And he was dead 2 weeks later. He died. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, that's why he wanted to tell me that. He didn't tell me that he was ill or anything. I didn't really know the circumstances of his death even, but I remember that being quite a wise thing. So I passed that on to the listeners. Hopefully I'm not going to peg it anytime soon, but yeah, don't wait. Be in control of your own destiny.
What's the title of this current chapter in your life?
Current chapter of my life. Oh, that's a good question. Intermission. Is that a bit ambiguous? I don't know. Yeah. Well, it's funny actually. I had a really old friend came up by the other day. Really old friend from when I was 18. We sort of went out. Sort of ran briefly for a little bit. She came over the other day and we were sort of chatting about things. I haven't seen her for a while. And I suddenly remembered that when we were 18, I had a copy of the House Martins album on vinyl, obviously, because I was 18. This was in the 80s. And she wrote a sort of a little message in the sleeve of the album, because it was a song we both really loved. And I remember she wrote, here's to whatever, a new chapter begins. And I remember at that time when we were talking about it, we were sort of dividing that into chapters, and it was just after we'd left school, and that was a very clear end of a chapter. I remember that being with her and writing this in my little album. But we didn't give it a name. Oh, the song was He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother, cover by the House Martins. So I guess we'll call that chapter that one when I was 18. That was the end of a chapter, school. So yeah, this is sort of, yeah, intermission really, sort of just the curtains just pausing, and then a new act will begin shortly while people get their drinks and an ice cream.
What personal trait has landed you in the most trouble?
Trying to please too many people most of the time, being a people pleaser, because actually not having the courage of your convictions or not having the bravery to say this is what I think or this is what I want to do, and rather take the easy default option of just trying to keep everyone happy, leaves you kind of treading water in life.
What was the last photo you took?
I'll tell you. I'm going to reach for my phone and have a look. Oh God, what happens if it's something filthy? It's not filthy. I'd never do that. The last thing I took a picture of, just across the road from where we're doing this podcast, there is an artist who makes these automated machines. So, you know, a bit like Zoltan and Big, the Tom Hanks film, Big, those sorts of machines you put a coin in and it would do something. Just across the road, he's got some brilliant ones that he's made. And there's one that's called the Small Hadron Collider. And they're beautifully made, these wonderful cabinets. Quantum Physics for Beginners, Discovery, Micro Black Holes with Hawking Radiation. So, really bonkers one. There's one about an alien probe. There's one called How to Get Divorced. And it's got these two sort of wooden figurines fighting over a house, and you put a coin in and watch the fun commence. So I took some pictures of those because they're rather beautiful. There's one, oh, this is a nice one. It's called Is It Art? And it's got a picture of a, I'll show you, but my listeners won't be able to, I'll try and describe it. A kind of pale, all white, faceless, kind of bureaucratic looking figure sitting behind a desk. And you put your coin in and he tells you whether it's art or not. I like that. Someone's got very good imagination and a very good visual eye. Before that, I took a picture of my tent that I pitched in my garden because I was disappointed this year that I'm not going camping. I felt a bit sad about that. And I'm luckily to, I live in a building that has a big communal lawn. So I got my tent out and pitched it just to feel like I was communing with nature before a man in a high-vis jacket told me to take it down.
What does love feel like?
Oh, yeah, love's great. It's love is... It's all-consuming, it's distracting, it's visceral, it has physiological components of... It's brilliant and terrifying and terrible all at the same time. Because it can... it sort of takes over everything. It takes over all rational sense and you feel it and there's nothing you can do. It tends to pass quite quickly. I had a friend actually gave me a bit of advice. I don't know if it's true or not, but I recommended it to someone the other day. If you were kind of utterly heartbroken, you're totally in love and it ends, 6 weeks is how long it takes to get over it. So you just have to wait it out. So 6 weeks. So I tried it with someone the other day and she said, yeah, absolutely. Literally on the day of the 6 week, I felt fine again. So even though it feels like your life is going to end and that's it and there's no point in going on anymore, just give it a couple of weeks, 6 weeks, and you'll be fine. But yeah, but no, love's an interesting thing. It comes and it goes and it's everyone should experience it in life. Most people do. But it can be destructive as well. It can drive you crazy. It can make you mad. It can make you see things that aren't there. It can make you paranoid. So it swings and roundabouts. But it is pretty fun.
When people come to you for help, what do they usually want help with?
Two things. People generally come to me for help for how do I get on television? I get quite a bit of that, to which the answer is, I have no idea. There is no rule. There is no... You have to just make it up yourself. Don't wait. No one's going to... Don't wait, you see? No one's going to come to you with a job and say, oh, we're going to put you on television. You've got to invent it yourself and then television will... find you. Don't go looking for television. So that's that, a bit of advice sorted. Sometimes actually quite a few of my female friends recently disastrous relationship kind of advice, of which again I have nothing to add that people don't already know. So those are the two bits of advice I get asked.
What about the opposite sex confuses you the most?
What about the opposite sex confuses me the most? What, so biologically? Probably my own sex rather than the opposite sex I find odd. I generally enjoy, this is a generalization of course, but I've probably got more female friends than male friends, and I generally enjoy female company better than male company, with obvious exceptions. So I don't think I've ever found the opposite sex confusing. Obviously in sort of situations where I've been in relationships and things have happened and I'm like, what? Obviously things like the thermostat in the living room. I think there's a biological evolutionary reason why women feel cold more than men. I don't know, boring kind of stuff. But it's not that confusing. I certainly don't find the opposite sex confusing as a going concern.
What TV show is your guilty pleasure?
Oh gosh. Well, recently I like watching news and current affairs just because I'm quite engrossed in the current existential crisis in which we find ourselves politically. So I've been watching Newsnight a lot, and Andrew Marr, and these kind of the BBC politics output I find myself drawn to a lot. I still go through phases of falling in love with TV shows, and I haven't really kind of got into the full, I just binging on box sets. I find the whole notion of binging, any kind of binging, whether it's food or anything, this constant gratification of I must have everything now, rather distasteful. So I don't do the whole binging things. I've been sort of slowly going through Killing Eve, which I'm enjoying a lot, but I only watch one. I limit myself to kind of one a day or one a week. It's about self-control. I don't know, I'm a kind of fan of that, this whole binge, which has sort of come into the vernacular of, oh, you must binge watch everything now. I quite like the old days. This is me sounding like an old fart, but I quite like the old days where you didn't have everything on demand, and so you had to wait. A bit like Christmas, you know, you waited and it would come and it'd be fun, and suddenly when everything's there all the time, you lose a sense of the fondness of it, because it's just there and you can have it whenever you want. It's a bit like people who celebrate, oh, I want Christmas every day. Well, if you have it every day, then it ceases to become in any way special. And I think likewise with TV and art, the skill of the channel controller, if you like, in the old days before we had, you know, before we had the internet, you know, you'd tune in on a particular day to watch a particular program and you'd look forward to it and it would be fun. But that's all gone now, because, and what's happened is people only watch their little niche things that they like to watch. In the old days, you might watch, say, BBC One, and there'd be a program, current affairs program, followed by a documentary about beekeeping, or whatever it would be, and you'd kind of have to watch it, and you'd learn something, but everyone is just isolating themselves into their own little niches, which I think is a shame. It's nice to have a little bit of, you know, a bit of anticipation, a bit of excitement, a bit of not knowing, a bit of uncertainty. There you go.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
If you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Don't wait. get on with it. God's sake, stop faffing about.
Describe your perfect holiday. Where are we in the world and what are we doing?
Well, you know, these are one of these questions a bit like what's your favourite colour or what's your favourite food. They're kind of meaningless questions because perfect holiday or perfect anything is entirely dependent on who you're with and the circumstances rather than... So I don't have a favourite place or, you know, I don't look through travel brochures or anything. I don't think I've ever been on... I've certainly as an adult, I've never been on holiday. I've never kind of gone into a holiday shop and bought a holiday. You know, I've gone to see people or bought a ticket here and kind of made it up as I've gone along. And some of the favourite, I guess in non-work times, some of my favourite things haven't necessarily been about the place, but about who I'm with. I remember having a really, really good holiday once in the Walmart car park. It only lasted for about an hour, the holiday, but it was me and a bunch of friends just goofing around in a Walmart car park doing donuts in a car when I was 18. That was fun. So, you know, so from Walmart car park, I would choose with a group of great friends to a holiday in the Seychelles with someone I don't particularly want to be with at any time. I have to say, though, I'm terrible at being on my own. I realised there's some people, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they booked a holiday on their own. And I found that very odd. I couldn't imagine going somewhere and not sharing the going somewhere with someone. So, yes, so my ideal holiday is the person I want to be with at that particular moment, personal persons. And that, of course, varies hugely from moment to moment.
If you were a potato, what sort would you be?
If I was some kind of potato, well, I like potatoes. My temptation is to say mashed potatoes because they're damaged by definition, destroyed, crushed by life. So maybe that when I'm in a darker mood. You know what I had made the other day? God, it was good. I made potato dauphinoise, which is the best thing ever. Now, here's the secret. I think it was maybe... who's that wonderful chef? God, what's his name? He wrote Toast. You know, Nigel Slater. I think it was Nigel Slater. Very sort of... I don't bother peeling the potatoes when I make dauphinoise. So here's my recipe. Just get your potato. Sort of pound coin thinness slices. That's the kind of slice. So it can be quite rough. So butter your dish that you're going to roast in. You've got to use all double cream. No half and half. Double cream. Layers of very thinly sliced onion in it as well. And anchovies. That's the key. Anchovies. Get a couple of tins of anchovies, bit of the oil, layer them in, and that saltiness of the anchovy will melt into the potatoes. And cook them for longer than you think, like a good hour, until it's sort of brown and crusty and bubbling. And I shit you not, you will thank me. So I like to be those, because I like to be the gold standard, and that is the gold standard potato.
Close your eyes and describe a scene of tranquility.
I'm up on the Outer Hebrides in Scotland. Harris. I love Scotland. I grew up there in the West Coast, particularly the Outer Hebrides. I adore. I like it's empty. There's not too many people. The pace of life is slow. It's stunning. They have weather of various kinds, which I like. It's rugged. It's desolate. It's beautiful.
What's something people don't know about you?
There's a lot that people don't know about me. In fact, 99.9999%. You know, you're on television, you write stuff, so you give a little bit of yourself out, but it's quite a managed bit of yourself, so there's, you know, a controlled bit of yourself. I'm quite good at magic. When I first moved to London when I was 20, 21, sort of left university, I kind of knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an actor, but that was hard. So it was kind of, what do I do to earn money? And I thought, well, I could work in restaurants, which I did for a bit. I worked in restaurants and did all that kind of stuff, aged 19, 20. And then I remember just around the corner from here, actually, near where we are, on top of Leather Lane, there's a magic shop called International Magic. And it looked really good from the outside, a bit like that shop I was just talking about, with the automated machines, all kinds of exciting things in the window that looked really interesting. And it was right at the time where David Blaine, do you remember David Blaine, did Street Magic. It had just come out. I remember he did this thing called the levitation. I remember thinking to myself, whatever happens in life, if you can levitate, that's everything will be okay. So I went into that shop, and it was a guy called Jerry Sadowitz was working there. He was a comedian, Scottish comedian and magician who I always used to love. And I said, right, I want to learn magic. He said, right, here we go. And he gave me a book. He said, off you go. And I kind of thought, well, learning magic, it's either learning magic or doing a plumbing course or something. I thought magic was up my street. So I taught myself magic and then worked as a close-up magician for a bit. So there you go. No, not many people know that.
What's something you think every person should experience in their lifetime?
I think everyone should experience the recent BFI Werner Herzog box set DVD. I think everyone should sit and just watch kind of five Herzog films. Not necessarily back to back as we've discussed, but I'm a great fan of Herzog. He's the master of great films that are both funny, poignant, don't take them too seriously, and yet touch things that are very deep.
Do you have any pet peeves?
The list of pet peeves is endless. what were we talking? Oh, hipster food menus. And actually, you know, this is me being an old fart again. I've noticed the proliferation of sort of 1980s, 1990s old ratty Peugeot racing bikes around this particular area. And what's happened is everyone's, oh yeah, I just want an old bike. This kind of people fixate on the obsession to try and not follow trends. Everyone looks exactly the same. That. I say that as someone who lives in a pretty hipster area. Just, it drives me around the bend. So that, and lots of other things, this kind of constant fear of accountability that we all have in society now, that leads to things like everything you have to do, you have to have a feedback form. And the constant feedback formism that we see everywhere only ever leads to people telling you what they already know, which means no one ever does anything out of the ordinary, and means all of culture just regresses into this mean of mediocrity. So feedback forms, people passing the buck, saying, I've just got to do it. Why? Well, it's just the way it is. So fear of that sort of fear of accountability that is becoming increasingly prevalent throughout all areas of society.
What are you working on at the moment?
I'm working on trying to not do anything for a week. I've had a really busy year, which sounds... I've had a really busy year and I'm knackered. Actually, and I'm going to take this month, August. We're talking in August. I'm going to try and take the month off and try and not worry about work, money, life, stuff, and actually just see what happens. It's been a long time since I've actually not been thinking about what's next. And that's part of the thing about being freelance and you know, doing your own thing, is that you're constantly worrying about, well, what happens next? And one thing finishes and you know, last year I wrote a book and that was all consuming, and then, you know, the day I finished, everyone's like, what are you doing next? I'm like, God, let me just enjoy the moment of having completed something. I've been doing a series for Nat Geo, which I enjoy a lot. We've just finished that. I'm going to go on holiday with my kids, so that's what's next. Thank you for listening to 17 Questions with me, Dallas Campbell.
Thank you for listening to 17 Questions. If you loved this episode, please subscribe, share, and give us a good rating wherever you get your podcasts from. If you have any questions you'd love to hear our guests answer, tweet us or drop us a message. It's at 17 Questions across all socials. And we'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.